Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill. I had an early fan of the podcast write to me and request a recipe for New Mexico red chili sauce, which I realize is kind of a specialty item. If you don't live in New Mexico or you haven't even visited New Mexico, you probably don't know the secret appeal of this sauce. It is basically pure chili and a particular kind of chili, which is New Mexico red chili, and it's grown only there. Although in recent years, I have noticed it becoming more available, not the sauce, just the chili itself. Here in my neighborhood, I see it occasionally, the whole dried pods available in Mexican groceries alongside all the other Mexican chilies, and they're labeled New Mexico red chilies. I usually get my chili when I go home and squirrel it away and treat it very carefully. And today I'm gonna cook up the last of my chili powder. I know purists work with pods, whole pods to start with, but I usually can pack a lot more chili powder already ground in my suitcase. So that's what I usually work with. So I have today, we're starting with ground New Mexico red chili powder. It's not the chili powder you see on the shelf in the supermarket with all the other spice mixes, because that's another kind of red chili mixed with all kinds of other spices mixed in, and you'll get a totally different yucky flavor if you use that. So we've got a little bit of the chili powder. I should stop calling it chili powder, actually. Ground red chili. And it's basically that, and then you make a little flour base to thicken it, and you add a little bit of garlic, and you could add spices if you want. Some purists don't. And I have to say, I am a little bit of a poser in this respect because I did not learn my red chili recipe at the knee of some lovely New Mexican grandmother, because I came to New Mexico when I was one, and my parents are not New Mexican, so I had to learn from a family friend who I think had learned it through a restaurant, so it's not like family lore passed down, but it is still pretty delicious, and it will definitely give you the results you need to get your chili fix. So the first thing, like I said, I've got the red chili, the ground red chili, and I've got out flour, and what else? I need a little oil, a little vegetable oil, and actually, conveniently, I might not be able to find the vegetable oil, in which case I will use, you know what, I will just use all lard. There was a big anti-lard backlash, which I find really unfortunate. Lard is really, of all the fats, not that bad for you compared to, for instance, butter, even though I eat plenty of butter. And it gives things a really rich flavor, and I believe there are actually some positive things about lard, but I can't remember what they are. They make your skin glow, you lose 50 pounds in 5 days, that kind of thing. It's miraculous, it really is. First off, though, we're not putting any oil in the pan, we're starting out dry. I have just put on my cast iron skillet to preheat. It's on medium heat on the burner, and I'm gonna get my spices together. Yeah, like I said, purists don't add any spices at all. I'm gonna add a pinch of cumin. You want to be really light with the cumin because it can really take over and end up, I think that's the kind of thing that ends up making your dinner taste like sort of cheap and cheesy Tex-Mex taco mix kind of thing. So you want to go light on the cumin, and I'm going to grind up a little bit of coriander. Cumin I keep around pre-ground. It loses its flavor pretty quickly, but I usually end up using it up, and it's convenient to have little batches of it ground up. But coriander I always grind right on demand because it loses its flavor within about 3 days, so there's really no point in keeping it. It just tastes like sawdust after a little bit. So I'm just gonna whiz this up. Oh, coriander takes a while. Yeah, and also my spice grinder is about 14 years old, so that might also have a little something to do with why it takes so long. Maybe one of these years I'll buy a fresh one. Anyway, I've got some coriander here. Okay, I'm gonna set that by the stove along with my cumin, and I'm getting out a little flour. And what's good to know about this, why I'm even addressing this in what otherwise is a pretty basic cooking skills podcast, is it's really good to know how to make a flour-thickened sauce. That means gravy, that means a white sauce. Once you understand how flour thickens something, it is, I hate to use the food cliche, but it is kind of a revelation. And you'll realize that's the logic behind so many saucy things you make. And the key thing to using a flour to thicken a sauce is to let the flour cook up a little bit on its own before you add the bulk of the liquid. And I'm gonna get, let's see, I'm trying, looking for a spoon here to measure this all. I'm using about half a cup of New Mexico red chili ground, and for that I'm gonna use a little less than 2 tablespoons of flour. And I'm just measuring that straight into my dry pan here. Spoonful. And I'm also gonna add the spices because I want them to toast a little tiny bit. So like I said, just a little pinch of cumin, maybe a quarter of a teaspoon, a little bit more, maybe half a teaspoon of ground coriander. That gives it sort of a slightly fresher, brighter flavor. And then I'm gonna pour in all my red chili, and I'm gonna stir these around in the pan really quick in the dry pan just to toast them. And you wanna do that fast, because they're gonna get toasty very, very quickly. And you can smell, don't breathe in too deep because that toasted chili oil is in the air and will probably make you start coughing. It'll probably make me start coughing. So you just want to stir these in the hot pan until things are fragrant, and that is plenty. I've actually just now taken the pan off the heat because I was a little scared about things scorching. And the next phase is just to squeeze a couple cloves of garlic in really quickly, which should be, truth be told, I should have had ready beforehand, because you don't really want to pause and let the spices burn. You can hear I'm squeezing the garlic through a press and into the pan, and that splattering you heard was just the hot garlic hitting the pan. So far, like I said, there's still no oil in here of any kind. So I'm doing this all off the heat because I don't want the spices or the chili to burn anymore. I've sort of pushed the spices off to one side, and I've got the garlic in the middle of the pan. And now I'm gonna add a little bit of lard, a couple spoonfuls. So basically, I'm gonna fry up that garlic in the middle of the pan, away from the rest of the spices. And I'm just gonna slide this back over to the burner. Get that frying up again. I just want to toast the garlic. You're looking for it to become a little bit fragrant. You can smell the garlic smell almost immediately. Just want to fry that around and then incorporate the dry chili and spices into that oil and garlic paste, and you're going to end up with this very dry paste. And you can fry that around just a little bit more to deepen the flavors. And this is the phase I'm talking about letting the flour cook a teeny bit before you add the liquid. Basically, you're binding the flour and the oil together, and that's gonna form the body of your sauce. And now I'm gonna add liquid, and I'm gonna add about 2 cups. I've used half a cup of chili, and I'm gonna add about 2 cups of liquid, but this is really kind of mutable. When you're first adding the liquid, you stir and stir and stir. Oh, there goes the chili oil. Dang. There's a potential for the flour to sort of glob up in lumps right away, and you want to stir as much as possible. If you have a little whisk, you could use that. That helps. And you'll notice that the texture of the sauce has thickened up immediately. You can feel sort of the resistance against the back of your spoon. Just keep stirring as you add about a full 2 cups of liquid. So half a cup of chili, about 2 heaping teaspoons of flour, and 2 cups of liquid is the proportion you're working with here. And the sauce is getting gorgeously velvety. I'm going to add a little bit more water. You can make it a little bit thin because we're going to let this simmer a bit to let the flour cook through and let the chili cook through just to get the raw taste out. So while it simmers, a lot of the liquid will cook off and it'll thicken back up again. So don't worry if you lose that thick texture you got at the very beginning when you first started adding the liquid. That's okay. I'm just stirring and making sure I've gotten everything incorporated. That's good. And this is the part I love to stare at because the grease makes this beautiful, beautiful sheen on the top of the chili sauce. Anyway, that's basically it. You can add a tiny pinch of salt, although this doesn't need a lot of salt, just a little pinch. And if you want, you can add a little dried oregano. That's kind of a common thing. So just stir that all in, and it's starting to come back up to a simmer here, bubbly. And once it does come up to a simmer, I've got the heat on medium hot. Well, actually I had the heat on medium throughout all this. And I'm turning it up to medium high just to get it boiling again, and then we'll turn it and let it cook down. And unlike most cooking in real time things, I'm not gonna sit with you through the end, but all right, it's bubbling. I'm gonna turn it back down to almost the lowest setting and let it simmer. And basically you just let it simmer for about 20 minutes. Like I said, it's gonna get thicker. And if you're not paying attention and you let it over thicken, if you let it sit there simmering too long, that's okay. You can just stir in more water and thin it out. If you can let it sit overnight, I find that really helps the flavor. I'm turning this down even to the absolute lowest setting because it's bubbling a little bit more than I want. Yeah, overnight, somehow the flavors all mellow out a little bit. I always have grand ambitions about making a big tray of enchiladas with this stuff, but I usually end up chipping away at it way too much just by having it on my eggs in the morning with a little cheese grated on top, and we actually happen to have some excellent, really good corn tortillas right now, so I have a feeling that's what I'm going to be having for breakfast tomorrow. You will find if you do leave it in the fridge overnight, it will thicken up incredibly. It'll just be almost jelly-like. And again, it's fine when you reheat it to just stir in a little bit more water. Or if you're gonna be using it in something sort of meaty, you could stir in a little chicken stock also just to give it a little bit more richness. But in a way, you don't wanna cloak the chili flavor too much with all kinds of other meaty stuff, especially if you've already used a little bit of lard. That's kind of all the meat flavor you need in it. Not that you need any meat flavor. Vegetarian, just with vegetable oil, is also quite delicious. You really just want the red chili flavor to stand out. So I think that's about all you need to know about this stuff. And if you haven't been to New Mexico, I heartily recommend, if only for the food. I mean, there are a million other reasons to go to New Mexico, but red chili and the green chili are both super delicious and something I wish I had more of in my life. It's something I really miss about the state. And if you're thinking about going to New Mexico, I happen to write a couple of guidebooks for moon handbooks, so you can look into those. And there is this recipe in the back, actually, so you can carry that with you wherever you go. But I do have the recipe, as usual, on the website, and I will also have up various photos of different phases of this cooking process, so you can see a little bit better what I was doing. And the other thing I've added to the website is some recommendations for basic cookware, so you can see that over in the sidebar. And you're welcome to get in touch, and I love doing special requests, so if there's anything else you want me to cook, drop me an email and I'm happy to address it. So keep the comments coming, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks again for listening to Cooking in Real Time.